The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse.
The beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the heartland of America, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our live Humble Bunker, everybody. Do you have the chat room open? I'm on the page for the show, and I don't see it.
Well, it's been 3 years since we've used this. It's October 19th.
It was Halloween, I think, the last time we used this in 2011.
That is correct, yes. So it's been a little while since we've used this, so forgive us while we get acclimated again.
In fact, back in the saddle again.
I am not sure what we do to open the chat room, to be honest with you.
Well, I'll tell you.
I'm logged in, and I don't see a chat room neither. So what's the deal?
Well, I don't know. We'll see. Figure it out.
Well, thank you for joining us as we broadcast live on this October 19th of 2014. We're looking at another test of the Blog Talk Radio platform for the purpose of not only doing PID Radio Live, but maybe getting some live roundtable discussions on A View from the Bunker and maybe switching the Gilbert House Fellowship. By the way, this morning when I said that it was October 26th, I was... Just
it's really the 19th.
Yeah, future casting. It is October
19th. Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
We're way out ahead of the singularity.
Come back from the future. Future.
Yes. Future. So that is the reason that we're giving this another try. Again, 3 years ago, we opted to leave Blog Talk Radio because we were having difficulty with a really annoying hum that we couldn't get rid of for some reason. So hopefully that will no longer be an issue, that problem was... has been resolved in the meanwhile. So this is something that could wind up being a platform for a variety of webcasts and podcasts.
Stacy's way ahead of you there. Did you see it? Go to the studio tab and open your chat room.
Duh. I'm in the studio. It's a chat. Oh, duh. Okay. Launch chat here. Okay. There we go. Thank you, Stacy. We appreciate your help.
Oh, you're so wonderful.
She's the
gal.
Chat is now online. So if you're with us this afternoon and listening to this in real time as opposed to in the archives, then the chat room is now available.
Is it? I don't see it yet.
It has been launched. It has been launched.
Oh, there it is. Aha.
So, all right. Well, of course, to timestamp this again, this is the middle of October 2014. And we're coming
to you from the future.
Yeah. Well, if you're listening to this in the archives, this would be the past.
Oh, yeah.
Or days of future past, perhaps.
Huh? Oh, hey, that was a great album.
Yeah. And the big story in the news is, of course, the Ebola scare. And there are some reasons why Ebola is scary, but it has pushed a lot of other things off the front page. For example, the ongoing situation in the Middle East with ISIS and Iraq, political machinations. I never know how to pronounce that word.
You know, it's machination.
Machination?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. Well, technically, it should be. I know we say machine,
mm-hmm.
but I believe it's machination.
Okay. Well, then I was right. So the machinations going on behind the scenes in the Middle East, and it's a... when you take all things together between what's happening politically in the Middle East with some of the oldest Christian communities in the world, some of the areas that were evangelized first by the apostles being destroyed... in the civil unrest that's been taking place in the Middle East over the last couple of years, finally making it into the news almost 10 years after it began when Saddam Hussein was toppled from power and Muslims were given free reign of the country. The news media finally picked up on it when it became a political convenience to convince Americans that we needed to go back to war in Iraq. And now we've got several thousand pairs of boots on the ground again. In Iraq, that you've got that going on there, and then you've got the pestilence taking place in West Africa, which is now spread to Spain, to the United States, and perhaps other places in the world that we don't know about yet.
Well, that's right. Speaking of the battle in the Middle East, ISIS has been battling in, I believe that the town name would be pronounced Kobani.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the story about the German biker gangs and the Dutch biker gangs that are down there fighting with the Kurds?
Really?
Yes.
No, I didn't. That's interesting.
It's this great story. Let me see if I can find the original and show it to you, because it's worth seeing. I found it today at the Daily Mail, which isn't one of my favorite sites. Sadly, a lot of information is there, but you have to also try to ignore a lot of
the stuff on the right hand side.
Unfits, mm-hmm. Yeah, pictures. But here you go.
Women in bikinis, basically.
Bikini, if you're lucky.
Whoa.
These skinhead
biker gangs going after.
Exactly. I mean, and let me go down to another picture here. This was something that this guy put to his Facebook page.
Huh.
Posing there with a buddy.
A biker from the No Surrender gang in the Netherlands, identified only as Ron, poses with one of the Kurdish fighters. Huh. Isn't interesting.
Isn't that interesting? That came out of, well, as we said earlier, when you say the phrase came out of left field, not everyone would understand, especially if you're a non-English speaker. But that certainly was a surprise when I found it today.
Yeah, I would say so. Not the kind of thing I would expect. I know there was sort of a joke that I saw a few years ago about how we'd clean up the Middle East, which was, you know, this was one of those viral email jokes. Tell a bunch of good old boys from, say, Arkansas or Mississippi that they could, have all the land they wanted if they just, cleaned up the residence first.
Oh, yeah.
And they showed these fellas who dressed in camos, the kind of guy you'd see at a Walmart on a Saturday afternoon. But the kind of guys who, over the last couple of centuries, who were actually sort of the backbone of the American military and the militia units that fought the Revolution, War of 1812, Spanish-American, all of the military conflicts the United States has been in. And There, frankly, is some truth to that.
Amen to that. By the way, I see you in the chat room, Patricia. Hello. Okana49. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. Nessie?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I can't quite see. Glasses. Small print. I need to make it larger. thank you. They say the audio is very clear, and we appreciate that because,
yes,
as we said, 3 years ago, the audio was really good, and then suddenly went bad. And we never did figure out what it was. It was this nasty hum.
Yeah, nasty RF hum, which was nothing that we could do anything about. We tried rewiring things, changing the cable setup, and it just was not. We just couldn't get it fixed.
We did everything. We cleaned out the boxes. We even tried switching cables, as you said. No. Couldn't get it fixed, but now it seems to be fine. Praise the Lord. Maybe we were supposed to take a 3-year hiatus from Blog Talk.
Well, and this morning we had some issues. If you listen to the Gilbert House Forum at gilberthouse.org, we had some issues during our Bible study this morning, but that was a bad patch cable that ran our mic.
Moo-moo, that was us.
Yeah, mic mixers through our little, we've got a little audio unit here that's a compressor and limiter, which helps to kind of balance out the volume differences between the two of us, and also has a noise gate on it, which essentially screens out background noises like Sam snoring.
He isn't here right now, so we could talk about him.
Yeah. Okay. Nisi, thank you very much for the pronunciation, guy.
Oh, you're awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
So,
Oceana.
Anyway.
Oh, Dutch. Okay. Silly me.
So, okay.
But we've always been at war with
Oceana. No, it's East Asia now.
Oh, that's true.
We've always been at war with East Asia.
Well, send the German biker gangs in there and we won't be there for long. Well, just a few days ago, speaking of Kobani, I kept seeing stories that Kobani was losing the fight and this and that. And all of a sudden we're seeing this meme propagating throughout the mainstream media that, the fighter jets are in there and we're getting some boots on the ground, and suddenly the ISIS is run away,
mm-hmm.
and Kobani is saved. I don't know what to believe anymore on the internet. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if we're even fighting over there.
Hmm. We have to depend on the media for our information.
Mm-hmm.
And it is funny how we have it's very easy to fall into a trap of only believing the media that's saying what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that a lot with, well, not everybody, but I mean, there's certain people who will argue, you know, who will rail against the mass media and the mainstream media or the lamestream media, and you can't trust anything they say until the New York Times or Washington Post publishes an article that supports a point of view that agrees with your worldview. You know, sorry, you can't cut it both ways. That doesn't work that way. Just like the people who the Patriot movement, who will argue that you can't trust government. Government is completely corrupt and owned by the corporate interests and the military industrial complex. But Ron Paul is somehow going to save us all. Oh, maybe now it's Rand Paul.
It's Rand Paul now.
Yeah. So one man is somehow going to save us. And frankly, I think that's a little silly. Again, you can't have it both ways.
No, you can't.
There is also a tendency out there, and I saw a couple of posts on Facebook earlier today that I think were insightful this way. There are some news sites, or let's say news in air quotes sites out there that are somewhat less than trustworthy. And one of them is one that allows anyone to post without any vetting of what gets posted. So you can't really trust anything that comes from that site as a news.
Yeah.
Story.
And there are samples of those on both sides.
Exactly right. Exactly right. But there's another one called, and I will name names here. It's called National Report, nationalreport.com. Mm-hmm. Because several times in the past week, I've noticed stories that they've posted. This is allegedly a satire site. I say allegedly because it isn't funny. Satire sites like The Onion
mm-hmm.
are funny. Satire.
Most of the time.
Generally. Or at least you can tell that the stories they're posting are fictional. I mean, they're
usually sometimes though they propagated through the internet, and it's either something from The Onion
yes.
or something that was posted at a mainstream media site on April 1st.
Right. But the National Report posts stories that are completely fictional, but they use real names of real cities and publish things that aren't funny. You cannot tell from reading the story that it is intended as satire. For example, there was a story a couple of days ago about
nationalreport.com.
Yes.
I'm not showing that. It's showing that the domain owner, this page provided to the domain owner free.
nationalreport.net.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, bills itself as America's number one news source, and I'm bringing this up just because this is really catching some people off guard. For example, their top story today, which is one example.
Yes, I see. Yes, I've seen that all day on Facebook.
CDC whistleblower exposes Ebola vaccinations containing RFID chips. Now, the irony, of course, of this is that Sharon's novel, The Armageddon Strain, and my follow-up, The God Conspiracy, essentially are based on
that. Was the plot?
That was the plot right there. So, but see. Our books were marketed as fiction.
Yes.
The National Report bills itself as America's number one national news site. There was another story here about, and I'll see if I can find it here. Well, they took this this Wasco clown story. Have you heard about that?
Oh, the creepy clowns?
We'll talk about that in a minute. But they ran a story based on that. But there was another one that in particular I want to bring up here because this was published as a real story. People were getting kind of scared about this. And real news agencies had to devote time to debunking this story. It was a story about the town of Purdon, Texas, Purdon.
Mm-hmm.
And a story published earlier this week indicated that the entire town of Purdon, Texas was quarantined. And not only did that story get picked up and repeated by people who were concerned that this is real, because Purdon is a real town.
Mm-hmm.
National Report has doubled down on this with a Purdon, Texas Ebola quarantine update and reporting in what appears to be like a live blog format about the CDC quarantining and blocking off this town because of an Ebola outbreak. Now, frankly, again, this isn't funny. It's not funny. And sadly, people who see this and there are real people who live in the town of Purdon. Real people who have relatives living in other parts of the nation who may read this story and be very concerned suddenly that their loved ones, family, friends, whatever, in this town are suddenly in very grave danger because of this site that is supposed to be a satire, but is writing it as though it's an actual story. In a sense, what they're doing is they're just writing fiction. It's not intended to be funny, but it's supposed to be satire.
Do we know who owns this site?
I don't.
I think that's worth looking into because I suspect that on the internet that there are some stories that are intended to draw certain factions out.
Exactly where I was going with this. You read, well, you didn't read my mind because we don't believe in that.
Well, we share the same brain though.
Well, that is
and
true.
And right now they're both working.
We replaced the patch cord during.
That was that hum 3 years ago.
Exactly. So just as a word of caution to you who are listening, National Report, don't believe anything you read at that site and take whatever they read as perhaps perform, you know, as pursuing another agenda, because many of the stories on this site, such as the one about the Ebola virus and the RFID chip, which faction, which particular worldview in the United States over the last few years has expressed the most concern about an RFID chip? Would it be conservative Christians with an eye toward prophetic fulfillment? Yeah, I think so.
No, sure.
I think that's who the National Report and other groups like this are trying to draw out for two purposes. Either one, to identify who they are.
Yeah.
And secondly, to make them or make us
look stupid.
Look stupid.
Exactly.
Right.
So let me tell you what you can do. When you see a link that goes to nationalreport.net at Facebook or Twitter, post a comment and in the comments say, "Congratulations! Nationalreport.net has been exposed as a satire site."
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to put the word congratulations in there because I saw a story today that the algorithm at Facebook automatically pushes any comment or post with the word congratulations in it to the top of your feed.
Ah, okay. Did not know that.
I just found it out because apparently someone else figured it out. There are certain key words and phrases that the algorithm looks for to see whether or not, oh, this is a big deal. Like married, engaged, birthday.
Interesting stuff.
Beer. I'm guessing that because I've got a lot of friends and I keep seeing beer posts. So that must be one of those words.
Well, yeah, it's not going to be long before they start tracking credit and debit card purchases and you start seeing things showing up in your Facebook feed based on what you've been buying.
Oh, offline, absolutely.
Offline.
Absolutely, yeah. Because there are apps out there, and I'm amazed at anybody who uses these things, but there are apps that you can add to your phone that will automatically say, I'm at this restaurant.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or, hey, I just watched this movie.
Like Yelp or Foursquare and some others.
Excuse me, but I'm off at a restaurant. I just as soon, you know, local crooks not know that I'm not home.
Exactly right. Yeah. So anyway, don't be fooled. And we've often said you need to really double check what you're reading in the news because we can't necessarily take everything in the news at face value. Sometimes you have to triangulate from news sources that have opposing points of view or opposing political views in order to some kind of home in on the truth.
That is absolutely right. Sorry about that. I'm just resettling Sam.
Yeah. He's really upset about Burton, Texas.
He doesn't like that site at all.
But
don't they know?
When it comes to something that seems really shocking and outrageous, like there was one, another one that's from National Report, you know, President Obama to, auction off marijuana seized in raids. Well, can you believe that he's doing this? Well, no, you can't believe that he's doing it because, again, it comes from a site that is not writing real news. It's just making stuff up.
Chat room, everybody's leading with, congratulations. Now you've got it.
So, well, hey, congratulations to the president. He's selected a new Ebola czar.
Well, isn't that handy? And it's time he did. It's not like we had already someone in place that actually had that as a job description. Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm.
She says, ironically.
Yes.
We did. It was the assistant secretary of the HHS. I don't have her name in front of me, but I can find it for you here in a second.
But that was her role, her job description as assistant secretary of the HHS, someone who had the military rank of vice admiral.
Yes, with public health service.
Yeah, yeah. The gentleman who's been selected as the Ebola czar is named Ron Klain. He is a...
Ron claims.
Yeah, because he's an attorney. He's a career attorney and political operative within the Democratic Party, very very well connected. He was the head of the legal team that fought the recount battle for Al Gore in the 2000 election. You remember that episode we had down in Florida that dragged on for weeks and weeks
Hanging
Chads. Hanging Chads, yes.
Nicole Lurie, doctor, she's an MD. Mm-hmm. Dr. Nicole Lurie is the assistant sec for HHS, and she's the HHS secretary for preparedness and response. Mm-hmm. This should be her job.
Preparedness and response, yes. But
yeah,
instead,
we'd rather have a lawyer in there.
Yeah, and this is the other thing about Ron Klain. There was an HBO film called Recount that was produced that dramatized the action of the 2000 Florida recount, and Ron Klain was played by
Kevin Spacey, who, of course,
House of Cards.
Exactly. Yeah. Who do you want in charge? Hey, Francis Underwood. That's the guy I want in charge of it.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. So they've got a political operative now in charge of the response to Ebola here in the United States, which doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. What it says to me, and maybe I'm just old and skeptical, is that the administration is more concerned about managing the message than they are about managing the virus, the spread of the virus.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? But, have you seen this story? At SIFMA.org, that's SIFMA.org. SIFMA is a conglomeration of various banks and economic forums, and they're essentially investing in America. That invested in America, that's their tagline. Mm-hmm. If you take a look at this story, and we'll link to it in the show notes, it is all about the 2013-2014 pandemic influenza continuity exercise strategy to make sure that government can continue in the wake of a pandemic. They are using flu as the causative agent here. In 2013, they did a lot of tabletop exercising. This year, they are having some seminars and planning sessions. And on November 13th, if I can find the date, November 13th, is the pandemic influenza wave one full-scale exercise. And I believe that the scene that they're actually, the scenario location is supposed to be region two, which I think is New York and New Jersey.
FEMA region two?
I think so. This is all part of FEMA, and it's listed here at SIFMA. They're not the ones sponsoring it. This is a FEMA event. Says here on November 13th is when wave one is wave two hits on November 20th. And as part of this exercise, if I understand it correctly, they will be testing whether or not there can be a continuity of government and of economics, despite the possibility of the internet shutting down. Now, this comes on the heels of an exercise that happened last Monday between the UK and the US, where they exercised whether or not a major bank would fail in either country and how that would affect the long-term economy.
SIFMA.org, question in the chat room there.
Yeah, SIFMA.org.
Region
there are
two.
All sorts of, in fact, I'll put this link in the chat room.
There you go. Yeah. Region two is the state of New York. New York and New Jersey. Let's put it. Is it New York? New Jersey?
I think New York and New Jersey is what I thought it was.
And possibly, is that Maryland? Massachusetts. New York and New Jersey is what it looks like. We're here in the heart of FEMA Region 5, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're
in FEMA 5.
But, yeah, interestingly, I did a little research on the continuity of government plans within the United States for the God conspiracy.
Oh, that's right, you did.
And wanted to dig into that because that was part of the novel, and a good bit of it was based in a location called Raven Rock, or Site R, which was the underground bunker below Raven Rock Mountain in southeast Pennsylvania, where Dick Cheney holed up after 9/11. And it is the communications nexus for the East Coast of the United States government on the East Coast. And from there, basically all military units in the field could be controlled. So you could move the Pentagon there to the underground bunker there. But of course, you've also got Mount Weather in West Virginia, which is a very important continuity of government site.
And what about Colorado.
I'm sure out there in Colorado, the those at Colorado Springs. I mean, anyone who's watched Stargate SG-1 knows that. That's
absolutely.
Where,
yeah, we all know that's where it's going to go.
But yeah, that would be an interesting program to do for A View from the Bunker. Just talk about the continuity of government bunkers. There's a ring of COG bunkers around Washington, D.C., which, of course, is to protect those who deem themselves so important that their lives are worth preserving in the event that everyone else
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because remember I talked to you yesterday about a video that a YouTube that I thought you should watch with a retired Border Patrol agent named, gosh, don't see his name in front of me in the article. And I apologize that I can't recall it right now. Don't want this to autoplay. But he is head of an organization that is for retired and former Border Patrol agents. And in this video, it's an interview. It's extremely well done. He's very well spoken. This man says that FEMA has, forgive me, I know this sounds like hyperbole, but this is what he said. So I'm just quoting him. He said that FEMA has 200 million, planning on 200 million deaths. I don't know for when. He's very concerned that Border Patrol agents are not allowed to load their weapons. They have to account for every piece of ammunition that they use. They are so rationed on the number of bullets they can actually have that they don't even practice with their weapons. They're supposed to be proficient on at least three or four weapons that they're supposed to have with them in the field. But if they're not loaded, they're also told if someone comes up to you and tries to hurt you, run away. Run away. It's like Robin and his minstrels down there on the border. Brave, and they don't want to be that way. Yeah. These guys are very brave. Sure. I mean, good grief. They literally are putting their lives on the line, especially if they don't have loaded weapons. I'm really concerned about this, and so is he. I've said many times on this show that I love the fact that God wants everybody in this world. He is so much more magnanimous than I ever could be.
Yeah.
He loves every one of those people who comes across our border. As far as God is concerned, there are no borders to this earth. It's all one earth.
That's right.
And so we get very upset about borders, and that's all part of the tension that the enemy wants us to convey. But I am concerned about the welfare of anybody on either side of the border if pathogens begin to be passed back and forth to people who have no immunity. And now we're seeing, and I saw someone just a few minutes ago who was talking about this, enterovirus D68 has become pandemic in many ways across our country. Mm-hmm. It began in California a few years ago, and now it's back in California, and it's in almost all 50 states now, and there have been a few deaths. This is a paralyzing disease in some kids. It primarily hits kids, kids and teens. I think there's only been one adult.
And the CDC is warning that immigrant children, and this was a warning that was actually sent out toward the end of September, so several weeks ago, that it could be those children coming across the southern border that are spreading the enterovirus epidemic. Because
apparently it's endemic down there, which means that it goes on all the time.
Right. And it is, as they are being rehomed, redistributed across the country, they may be taking it with them.
Now, certainly.
Yeah.
Anything that they have, whether they have measles or they have tuberculosis, which is becoming more and more of a problem here in the United States because there are some strains of TB that are just drug resistant.
So the enterovirus, not to take a whole lot of time on it, but what are, I'm really
that's sort of a polio cousin. It's within that same family.
Oh, okay.
So it can have paralyzing effects. You can lose functions of your limbs, but more to the point, you can lose the ability to breathe.
Okay,
that's a big problem.
Yes, it is. And one, of, yeah, okay. So
well, I grew up with polio. You didn't. You were born. You're just a kid. He's my arm candy, people. I just that's why I go to these conferences so I could strut around with my arm candy. Anyway, when I was growing up, polio was still a very big problem. So everybody had to be immunized against polio. It's one of the vaccines I have in my lifetime taken because it was required for school. I remember in the gym when they lined us all up and they gave us all every month or whatever it is, because it's three doses, they would give us each a sugar cube to swallow, to let it dissolve in your mouth and swallow. And there were some problems with that polio vaccine because much of it in the early days was grown in monkey kidney cells, which contained the SV40 virus, which is responsible for some cancers today.
And there are some who have contended that the AIDS virus may also have been spread through the polio vaccine, or maybe currently in more recent years. But I do remember that the incidence of cancer was increased.
Much higher in people who had that.
Yeah.
But arm candy. Yes, arm candy.
I mean, you're right. I mean, I'm of a generation only 10 years, you know, beyond you that grew up not really having to be worried about, you know, any of our friends contracting polio.
Well, when I was a kid, I remember many commercials trying to get us to use the vaccine, telling parents they had to vaccinate their children. And you would see this imagery that terrified you as a child. It would show a young person your age in an iron lung.
Yeah, it just a horrible.
I was terrified that I would end up in an iron lung as a kid.
And
I was afraid that, you know, the bomb would be dropped somewhere. And I was always telling Dad, please dig something in the backyard so we can go and hide.
Oh, no. Remember that film strip at school? All you need to do is get underneath
duck
your
and
desk.
Cover.
Get underneath your desk, and that'll take care of it all.
Ah, yeah.
Well, other things going on around the world. You know, the whole thing about the Ebola czar, coming back to that, it just seems strange that the Centers for Disease Control has been so ineffective in its response, and that HHS has not stepped up to take a role in coordinating any kind of response. I mean, we talked over the past weeks about the second nurse who was infected down there in Dallas, who flew to Canton,
Amber
Ohio,
Vincent.
And then back, called the CDC before she returned from Ohio to Dallas and was told, because her fever hadn't hit 100.4 yet, it was 99.5, that she was okay to get on the flight. This was the CDC. They're supposed to be the leaders in controlling these sorts of highly infectious, very dangerous diseases.
When, in fact, not every Ebola patient exhibits febrile illness. You don't always have a fever.
But, there's an interesting story. Jerome Corsi, who we've interviewed several times here on this program, wrote an article for WorldNet Daily last week pointing out that the guy who's heading up the CDC for the Obama administration, Thomas Friedman, was the guy who pushed the big gulp ban for Mayor Bloomberg in New York.
You're kidding.
Yeah, he's, you know, he couldn't, it's okay to fly when you've got a fever and you've been exposed to Ebola, but you better not drink a big gulp. Yeah.
Shows well, you know what movie I put on my watch list in Amazon to watch tonight?
What's that?
And the Band Played On, about the HIV emergence and how the CDC and healthcare system in general and our government responded to it. And it begins, that story actually begins with Ebola. The man who discovered HIV also was one of the discoverers of Ebola in 1976.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Which is also the year that Debbie graduated from high school.
Another kid. you know, when you being the old longtime singer of barbershop quartet music that I am, you say, and the bland played on, and I'm thinking, you know, Casey Wood waltz with the strawberry blonde hand. Anyway, that's
what I know. That's what everybody thinks of, and it's a great title, actually, because apparently at the time, and I do remember it well, the response was very slow. Early on, it was, though, these are isolated illnesses. We don't know what's going on. This is just in these, you know, this population, when in fact anybody can get HIV.
So. And that was that's sort of been the response here in the United States, at least up until the last few days.
Except in the United States, people are actually panicking big time. Have you seen the stories about the teachers? There was one teacher in Ohio who happened to be in the bridal shop that Amber Vinson was shopping. And that teacher has now been put on 21-day home quarantine. Another teacher from, I can't recall where she was from, but she just happened to travel to Dallas. And because she'd been in Dallas, She was asked to please stay home.
Because she'd been to Dallas.
Another school.
It's a pretty small place.
Another school that I saw the story on this morning, the principal of middle school went to, where was it? It was in Southeast Africa. Mm-hmm. And Zambia? Does that sound right? Anyway, 3,000 miles from the hot zone from West Africa. And yet when she got back, or he got back, sorry, he was told, please stay home for 21 days because parents are pulling their kids out of school. And the high school next door, families mm-hmm. were pulling their kids out of school. This is how terrifying Ebola is. And I agree.
Yeah.
Because if you do catch Ebola, there's a 70 to 90% chance you're going to die.
Well, and that's the thing. There was a Democratic congressman, Alan Grayson of Florida, who in July sent a letter to the White House and to Secretary of State John Kerry requesting a ban on travel from people from Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea, and on anyone who had been in any of those countries within the last 90 days. The government ignored his request, and in his State of the Union address, or his weekly radio address, I should say, yesterday, the president again repeated his unwillingness to put any kind of a travel ban on those countries. And the reason that they're giving for not closing American borders to people who've been in those countries is absolutely lunatic. Mm-hmm. It's, we can't track people effectively if we put a ban on the people coming from those countries. What are you saying? We put travel bans on people from certain countries all the time.
Absolutely.
We don't let just anybody.
In fact, Obama has.
Yes, we don't allow people to travel directly into the United States from North Korea or from Iran or from, I worked in a business where we did quite a bit of export, and we had to certify every time we shipped something overseas. This is not only were we not shipping it directly to Sudan or Libya, this was back before Libya, was rehabilitated. Iran, North Korea, one of the axis of evil countries, Syria was the other. Not only did, we weren't shipping it there, but whoever we were shipping it to was not going to turn around and reship it to any one of those nations.
Right.
We had to certify to the U.S. Department of State that it was not going to end up in one of those countries. So we do this all the time. So to say that we couldn't put a travel ban on people from these nations or who'd been in these nations is absolutely crazy. The countries bordering on those nations have closed their borders to people in those nations.
Exactly. And the ones who are doing that, quarantining certain areas?
Yes. Are controlling the disease.
Yes, they are.
It just makes sense. If you are old enough to remember, Patrick Buchanan wrote an article this week, I think Wednesday, Thursday, saying that he's old enough to remember growing up in Washington, D.C. and seeing notes tacked on people's doors. Kids had mumps, measles, polio, whatever, and people were quarantined inside the house. So it's like, okay, well, if one of us got sick with a certain disease, we just knew health department would ask us to stay home. And it's like, all right, let's get out the Monopoly board because we were going to be stuck in the house for a week or two.
Yeah.
That's just how you control a disease.
Exactly.
Like
well, when we were kids, I come from a family of six daughters, and we all got the chicken pox at the same time. My younger sister, Debbie, doesn't remember it, but she had it too. She was a baby, and we all stayed home. We were home for a couple of weeks, and I remember, Mom, you can't turn the lights on when you have chicken pox. That's what she believed. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. So there are pictures of us from the time where it's like, what is this again? Why is this picture so dark? Well, you can see us all sitting on the couch.
Yeah, that was the chicken pox period.
Yeah, that was the chicken pox.
Well, to refresh people, memories of people who may not have heard, your talk on Thanatos and Therion, the derivation of the word Therion in Revelation 6 when it's talking about the power being given to beasts to kill much of humanity?
I think most people, as did I when I first came across that when I was, I don't know, maybe 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there. It was very early in my Christian walk our church began studying the book of Revelation. So I was reading that and trying to figure out, well, what's it say? Because I always want to know, I love language. And I always wanted to know, well, what's the original language say? And this is Therion, and that means beasts. And okay, all right, beasts, those are lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, right? Mm-hmm. We all know that.
Sure, yeah.
What the oh my's are, I don't know, but they're scary too. So I just went with that, and when I decided to go ahead and start studying more about Ebola and more about prophecy for in preparation for the July meeting in Colorado, I started looking at Ebola back in maybe January, February of this year, because it had come up on my radar because it's one of the alerts that I have at Google. So I had, in the meantime, taken a look at the original language, and Therion means it's a diminutive of a diminutive.
Mm-hmm.
It means very, very little beasts. And it implies that there is a trap as part of it.
Hmm.
It's also used for setting a trap. Mm-hmm. That same word.
Hmm. So Revelation 6, verse 8, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth." That's how the ESV translates it. So the Correct. Wild beast was Therion?
Yes.
And Therion.
Let me turn to that because okay. I want to find it. Going to the... If you've never used at blueletterbible.org, it is wonderful because you can click on the link and it will take you to looking at the original language. The word that's translated as beast, Therion, mm-hmm. Now I'm clicking on that so I can go on. It says an animal, a wild beast, a bestial man, a savage or ferocious. But if you go back to the root word of that, what that is based on, Therion is a diminutive of this diminutive. It's hunting wild beasts to destroy them, but it implies a trap, preparing destruction for men.
Hmm.
So inherent within these tiny beasts is some sort of trap, and I found that so interesting. Thanatos is the name of the rider on this pale, green, sickly-looking steed. Thanatos is the only name given to any of these riders.
That's right.
The first three riders don't have a name.
Hmm.
The fourth horse has Thanatos riding it, and Hades.
Hell following with him.
After yeah. following it. Well, Hades, I use that term because Hades is actually, is actually the name of a god.
Right.
Just like Thanatos is the name of a god. He's the son of Zeus.
That's right.
The
That's
son
right.
of Zeus and Nyx.
So a couple of Greek gods.
A god and a goddess had Therion. Thanatos. And Thanatos' twin brother is Hypnos, who puts you to sleep.
Hmm. Okay.
And they both escort you to the realm of Hades. They're Hades' lieutenants.
So most of us, I think, have grown up understanding that when those words, those names of Greek gods have been used in the Bible, and they are referenced a couple of times because Zeus shows up in Revelation, I believe, because that's the seat of Satan, but that's the Pergamum, where the altar to Zeus is located, which the Germans took to
Thessalonia.
Germany.
In one of the Thessalonians?
No, it was Pergamum.
No, I know what you're talking about. I'm trying to think of where it was.
It's in Revelation.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
But it's in one of the letters.
Yes, it's one of the letters. But, of course, Polyon is the name of the king of the locusts or the locust-like
exactly.
beings that come out of the pit. And that's another form of the word Apollo, which is, of course, another Greek god.
Exactly.
So I think most of us grew up understanding those to just be literary conventions, perhaps, being employed by the writers of the New Testament, but...
No, this is the angel of death.
They're talking about real spiritual entities. If we take Paul at his word that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, that these are real entities. And,
yes.
of course, we see that Death and Hades, the fourth rider and his companion, are thrown into the lake of fire
mm-hmm.
at the end.
Yes. You don't throw a concept into the lake of fire.
Or you don't throw a place, hell.
Right.
We think of it as a geographical
exactly.
location. You throw
no.
hell into...
Hades is following after because he wants to make sure these people go to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's, interesting stuff. And that was the basically the core of Sharon's presentation and also the forthcoming book, Ebola and the Fourth Rider of the Apocalypse. Fourth Horseman, I'm sorry, excuse me.
Which I think is going to be ready by the end of November.
So meanwhile, if you're in the New York area and you're looking to pick up a little extra pocket cash... Transportation, Security Administration, Safety Administration, looking for Ebola screeners at JFK Airport, $19 an hour.
They're going to have a tough time getting any. I don't know, though.
Yeah.
If
no,
I were really, really poor, maybe, really needed a job, maybe.
Yeah. No.
But that's not a whole lot in New York.
It is not.
It is not. That's like making like $5 here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The government, just shifting gears a little bit, has put out a call for a study, spending just shy of $1 million on this to study how you and I use Twitter, not just you and me, but collectively,
just
all
of
us.
Just the two of us. Yeah.
They could just pay us and we'll tell them. No, it's the goal of this research project is to determine whether we are spreading memes through mass through mass social media.
Mm-hmm.
They want to study social pollution. It's been nicknamed the Truthy Project. The National Science Foundation, Truthy, of course, a term invented by comedian Stephen Colbert. The National Science Foundation wants to conduct this research to determine whether we are spreading misinformation through Twitter or Facebook or Google Plus.
Oh, I see.
Or whatever.
I see. So if I make a statement that Ebola can be spread through the air,
you could be spreading a social epidemic.
But I'm not the only one. The head of SIDRAP says the same thing.
Well, yes, but you're spreading it.
So if Dr. Osterholm says it, is he going to get sent home for a 21-day quarantine?
Well, possibly. Or, you know, just we're going to have to disinfect that computer there. Political smears, astroturfing, other forms of misinformation are the target. This is intended to estimate the degree of partisanship of various posters and users of social media. The study to be conducted by your alma mater, Indiana University.
Oh, you know, I love IU and everything, but they are pretty darn liberal.
Mm-hmm. So what the government hopes to accomplish by this study and spending $1 million on this, I'm not sure, but it's just, you know, it's not surprising. The funny thing, of course, is that the Department of State and the United States military have their own division specifically tasked with using social media to spread specific points of view.
In fact, did you see the story that Facebook is really mad about the DEA having fake identities over there at Facebook?
Surprise!
How dare you spy on people?
Yeah.
Facebook says.
I mean, this is a long time and very noble calling among those in government to use media in all its forms to spread certain ideas that it wants to spread. In fact, there was a story that came out last week that we didn't get to, that the government of the United Kingdom in the 1970s, during the Troubles with Northern Ireland, where you had the violence taking place on a regular basis there, there were plants working for military intelligence, British military intelligence, who staged evidence of black masses in places around Ireland to create a panic, a satanic panic in Northern Ireland.
Black masses?
Yes. There's a new book that's been published by Sheffield University author Richard Jenkins called Black Magic and Bogeymen, Fear, Rumor, and Popular Belief in the North of Ireland, 1972 to 1974. The thinking was that both Roman Catholic churches and Protestant churches would not tolerate Satanism in their midst. And if the nation was convinced that the paramilitary units there fighting for independence in Northern Ireland were involved in satanic rituals, they would lose their public support.
Good grief. What a world we live in.
Amen. Well, you know, we do this program not to spread additional fear, loathing.
No, not at all.
And just
because
the point,
you know,
to see
we have Jesus Christ.
Amen. That the enemy is trying to use these weapons against us. And these are the tools of the enemy. Basically, everything we've talked about for the last 45 minutes or so, just more evidence that the enemy is trying to work on us to freak us out. There are certain elements, and you know where you can find them on the internet,
mm-hmm.
who seem addicted to the adrenaline rush of seeing these things. We need to be aware of these things. Even the Apostle Paul in his letters was writing that we should not be ignorant of the enemy's devices.
Exactly.
And so, okay, we're okay with that. But you get to a certain point where it's like, look, okay, I've overloaded on the Ebola news for today, and I've seen you in this condition after writing the book. Today,
that was the longest 2 weeks of my life.
Yes. Today, I'm just going to play Klondike. And I can understand that. And
mm-hmm.
I've heard from other people, especially as we approach Election Day here in the United States, which is coming up in just a week and a half or so. It's first Tuesday in November. You know, here in Illinois, and we've missed out on a lot of this, but I hear it from people that I see when I go out and talk to customers who do still watch cable television and the talking heads on the news channels. Here in Illinois, we've got a very contentious race shaping up for the governorship of Illinois. And You know, our last two governors are both making license plates for the state. We're a very high-end state. We have, you know, our license plates aren't made by just anyone, you know. They're made by governors. Blagojevich and before him, George Ryan. George Ryan. And it could be that Pat Quinn winds up third in a row. We're trying for the trifecta. But there was an ad run that I happened to see while I was in a waiting room waiting to talk to a customer. That from the Republican Party that actually accused, because of some social program supported by the governor, accused Governor Quinn of murder. I mean, in so many words, basically. And I mentioned that
that's
to the customer.
That's actionable.
Yeah. Now, they probably worded it such, because I didn't hear the whole thing, but it was probably worded in a way to avoid being actionable. But the message was very clear, just like the way the Bush administration accused Saddam Hussein of having weapons of mass destruction without saying he was responsible for 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
But the impression made on the American public was that Saddam was tied to 9/11. Oh, and by the way, story came out this week. They did finally find those weapons, and American soldiers over the past 10 years have been injured numerous times by these weapons of mass destruction, chemical weapons that we supposedly didn't find, that we really did find. Just another story. Anyway, back to the election.
That's a show in its own.
It is. So we're missing out on all of that stuff that just you know, is like nails on a chalkboard, the political ads back and forth, accusing one another of, you know, trying to take advantage of the elderly and destroying the future of the young, and our governor is committing murder. And because we've cut the cable, we don't see any of those ads. We miss it. It is so wonderful.
Amen to that. I'm sorry. I looked down here in the chat room and they're talking about ice cream. Moose Tracks ice cream.
Yes, yes, indeed.
You know, let's just put it this way. The Schwanz man and I are very good friends. When he shows up here on Thursdays every other week, and I ask him, do you have the chocolate and peanut butter ice cream? And he said, I always keep at least six of them in my truck for you.
Yeah, he's a good man.
He is a good man.
He knows his customers.
He does.
Good comment in the chat room. Yes, we did give many of those, supply Saddam Hussein with many of those weapons of mass destruction. And I suspect that that is why we would not go public and say, yes, we found these weapons.
Yes.
I heard, I was listening to Mark Levin on the radio the other night. Not something I normally do because he's pretty strident and I disagree with some of what he says because he's pretty partisan. But he was just raging about the fact that we had not disclosed publicly that, yes, the U.S. military did find weapons of mass destruction. I suspect, again, as per the comment in the chat room, that it's because many of those were stamped made in the USA.
Yeah.
So,
Sam, are we done?
Pretty.
He just stood up.
Pretty close.
We've got a few more minutes, Sam. Can you come over here?
So anyway, I tend to get distracted and
when the dachshund stares at you, who doesn't?
Yeah, it's the mind control.
But the
point is that because we have security in Jesus Christ, we know where our future lies. We don't need to have a spirit of fear. I mean, certainly there are some times coming that will not be pleasant. Whether we are taken out of here via the rapture before the final seven years of history, or at some point after the Antichrist is revealed and the persecution against Christians begins to ratchet up. And we've seen some small evidence of that here in America, where we've had it pretty easy as Christians for the last 200 and some years. The city administration in Houston demanding the texts and notes of pastors for their sermons.
She's backed off on that now.
Yeah, I wondered if there wouldn't be some blowback.
I think she was surprised at what the reaction was. Well, hey, there are Christian out there, and they're mad.
Yeah. But
they vote.
Exactly. So, but that's just she was just ahead of the curve, and that curve is coming, where that type of government treatment will be par for the course for Christians in America.
That's correct. And that's why when I wrote the Ebola book, I did not write that with the intention of terrifying people. I'm not trying to drum up sort of fear.
Right.
That's not it at all. I want to inform people. Here's the truth about it. Here's how I connect it to prophecy, whether or not we'll have to go through any of those 7 years? I don't think we will, but I may be well proven wrong.
Yeah.
And if I'm proven wrong, then I will place my faith in Jesus Christ then as I do now.
Absolutely.
He is my rock, my redeemer, and he, no matter what happens to us, holds us in his hands and covers us as a hen covers her chicks.
Ours is a faith of history that is based on evidence, the eyewitness testimony of those who saw Jesus Christ prophesy his death and his resurrection, and then prove his divinity by following through and returning from the grave. He's told us that he's gone on ahead of us to prepare places for us in heaven.
That's right.
Prepare many mansions. And or there are many rooms, mansions in his Father's house.
Mm-hmm.
And so
many dwelling places.
That's what we've got waiting for us. Don't know how many square footage there are, but I suspect it's going to be more than enough for what we'll need for the rest of eternity.
I think it's better than the split level we've got now, which is not a bad house.
No.
It's a nice house, yeah. But I'm thinking it's going to be better than that.
But we know that there are those, and even those here, we know a little bit about some of you in the chat room, and those of you who'll be listening in the archives, that there are struggles that you're facing in your life, physical struggles, financial struggles, emotional struggles. The Lord himself knows better than we do what you're going through. He was denied by his friends who were too fearful to admit that they even knew him in his hour of greatest need. He knows physical pain more intense than any of us have ever or will ever face. He knows what it's like to be tempted, sorely tempted, when an hour of physical need.
During
hungry,
his weakest,
thirsty,
exactly.
And during his weakest. So we serve a God who lowered himself to our status, has endured more physically and emotionally than we will ever endure, and took all of that on himself willingly, so that we would be reconciled with him. And we just pray that as we look at these things, you know, the PID and peering in, it stands for peering into darkness in PID radio. But we do that just, again, so that we're aware of what the enemy is trying to throw at us in order to demoralize us, distract us, and defeat us.
Mm-hmm.
But as Jesus said on the cross, it is finished.
Amen. Amen.
He's already
well, let us know how you what you think about the live format. We're so praising the Lord that there's no buzz. And so there's no reason why we can't continue on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to send us a question, if you want to have a topic, so let us know that there's a topic you want us to cover. I saw someone talking at Facebook today yesterday asking, I think it was Melanie, who asked if we had ever talked about dreams and dream
right.
interpretation.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that's definitely on our list of topics for the future. If there's a guest you would like to have us interview on PID Radio, generally we have those on VFTB, but there's no reason why you and I can't get together and talk to somebody.
Sure. And we have done that here even in recent weeks. So mm-hmm. That is something that we'll certainly take into consideration as well. Coming up on A View from the Bunker, Chris Putnam, the interview at Pikes Peak about the supernatural worldview and how in the post-Christian society that the increasingly post-Christian society in which we live, how the world is growing more pagan. That'll be uploaded on Wednesday night. That'll be the 22nd of October. And then on the 26th, on A View from the Bunker, it's become kind of a tradition to have Dr. Judd Burton, our friendly neighborhood PhD, to discuss aspects of the Halloween holiday. And this year he's proposed, I think, a good idea. We talk about the wrestling against flesh and blood. So he's discussed that as a possible topic. We'll talk about flesh and blood, zombies and vampires.
Oh,
and that'll be on October 26th.
Well, awesome. Well, in the meantime, if you see a creepy clown in your neighborhood, let us know. If you see any creepy dachshunds, well, let us know about that too.
That'll be just our neighborhood. Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. content copyright Gilbert House and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out.